Thought I was on. Am I on now? Okay, I had to switch the wrong way. You know why I did that? I use this every day here, but that switch went the other way. Oh, it's because I wore it upside down. All weekend I was switching the switch at the church I was at. So I had it over. I thought it was on. I really did. I felt it. And I thought, praise God. Isn't God good?
Yeah.
Let's receive. Oh, you want to hear a highlight of the weekend? Can I tell you one little highlight of the weekend before we do this? And then we could just do this in worship, because it's like this is a form of worship too. It really is. It's just, we honor you for what you did, and we yield to it. We had a, I won't tell you all about the weekend because stuff just happens. You travel, it's just crazy. God just, it's just fun. But I did. I took a pastor with me, and we had a ball. Now I feel like two things I want to tell you. I'll stick to one. Maybe I'll tell you two. Who enjoys when little kids are just like marked by God? Who enjoys that? Well, then I'll tell you too. this little 8-year-old granddaughter, the grandparents live right next door to them. It's their property and they have a house next door. So their son and daughter-in-law and family live in that house. So they're right next door. So she comes over. She would live there if they'd let her. She just loves her grandparents. And they set up a little, like a trellis type thing around a little pink bed. And it has a canopy the whole way around the bed. And they put it in the room for her, but they have a regular bed as a guest room, but they have this bed for her when she stays there. When she saw the bed like 2 years ago, she's 8 now, so she's like 6. When she saw that bed and saw that, she went, oh, Grammy, I can use that to pray. I can go in there to pray. That was the first thought on her mind. I'm like, I love that stuff. That's like amazing. So Margaret, the grandmother, said that she goes in there, since they've had that in there, she goes in there, she actually wraps a shawl around her, crawls in there, and journals. And the stuff that she hears, and right, it's just ridiculous. It's just so good. So my friend, Pastor Dan, who knows Dan Summers? York Springs, Pastor Dan Summers. Anybody, do you know who he is? Okay, he's a good guy. I love him. He's one of them guys you get talking about Jesus just long enough and he's crying.
I just like it. So I liked hanging out with him because we talk about Jesus a lot and he's crying the whole way. He cried half the way home yesterday.
He wakes up yesterday morning and the Lord spoke to him, come upon him and said, I want you to go in there. To crawl in that little girl's thing and get on her little bed. He said, I want you to go in there and meet with me. So Pastor Dan's like, okay. He crawls in there. He said it was like walking into a cloud. He goes in there and God just met him there, right? So he's just sitting there like, oh. He couldn't do much. Revelation, encouragement. And then God started fathering him, showing him some things, clearing out some mindsets and lines of thought that weren't edifying him. In that place, things just get clear. That's why it's so important to seek him. That's why it's so important sometimes to just go and just and let God just begin to speak. You know what I mean? Because sometimes we just yak, 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 yak. I don't mean talking to God, because I talk a lot to God. I mean just the mind. Just, yeah, well, yeah. He just went in there and sat, and he said God met him. He shared wisdom with me and how God fathered him. And he came out, and we were in the kitchen. It was just hilarious, because Margaret shared something, and I came out and said something, and Gene came up and we were talking, and all of a sudden he was a hoer, Pam. He started doing the hoer thing. He's like, oh, and I was like, oh God, he's done. So I just went over and was eating my little pumpkin bread, and I was like, God bless him. He starts bawling. He's on the floor in a ball. We need to go to church. I looked over. He's literally crawling on his hands and knees, trying to get to his Bible. Because he knew we needed to leave soon, and your mind just doesn't seem to shut down. He's thinking, well, we got to get to church. And he's crawling across the floor, bawling. And I just said, look, we're going to be fine. Gene prayed over him. He's just toasted. But what was neat was it wasn't just a feeling. In the whole process, God was fathering him, if you'd have heard the wisdom that came out of him. But them experiences are so powerful. So we're in the church service, and I said, good morning, guys. Man, it's been a fun weekend. This is our last day. We're just having a blast day. Thanks for letting me come and bringing my friend. I said, you know, God met with him this morning. And when I said that, he went, oh, and he just started bawling, and he just fell on the floor. All I did was proclaim that God was meeting with him, and God just went, just fell right on him. He collapsed. He's like, and you should have heard how loud he was. He's like, and everybody went, oh my gosh, God's meeting with this guy. And so you couldn't even hardly make mention. He was on the phone and he's talking to his daughter and he was trying to tell her the experience, and the experience kept coming on him in the sense of God's tangible presence. He ended up crying, ministering to his daughter, going to pray for her friend that was in the car who was in pain. He just was on it, man. But that was just fun. That's just what's available. That's intimacy. But here's a highlight story. We prayed for redemption, that if sin brought a mark into your life, that if you committed sin and it marked your life in your blood, your body, your organ, your mind, and you're still carrying that mark and you're born again, that it must be destroyed. That the blood of Jesus forgave the act of sin, and the body that was given removes the effects of sin. It paid the price of the cost of sin. So we preached that. I said, man, if you got STD, hepatitis, organ damage, I don't care if you just have any way you're marked, you get up here right now. And all these people came up. They were lined up. It was definitely, as this is why it was wider than this. They were the whole way across. And I took my liberty and prayed for them all. I'm a body of Christ guy. You should know that by now. But on those redemption calls, I'll just go pray for them. I just like it. I have faith for it. And I went down through there and I was praying to be redeemed, and words started coming and prophecy started coming. And it was just really cool. And I got to this lady. I'm about seven people in the line praying, and they're breaking down. God's there. He's just doing good stuff. Got to this lady. Don't know any of these people. This lady has never come to church. She's never come to church. Her sister finally got her to come. This is the first time she's at church. She's probably 40. She's never been 40s. Never been to church. She's talked herself and talked around it every time her sister asks her. And she's been running from God. She's hearing the message I'm preaching. And she's melting. She's hearing the goodness of God and the purpose of God sending his son. And she's just melting. Then she hears the love of God in the blood and the body and the restoration of life. And here's this lady standing up front. I look at her. She just looks like a spirit-filled Christian that's before the Lord. She's never been to church. She's not born again. Not born again. Got about 2 feet from her. Just started to speak redemption. And you'd have thought I hit her in the head with a hammer. It was ugly. I was like, oh. Nobody caught her, really. I mean, they tried. I was like, God. You know? It's just, oof. And she fell behind all the people. It's like she thrusted this way. It was like somebody just come beside with a sledgehammer and went, whap! And she went, whoa! And poof! And, yeah. So I knew that was God. And I leaned in, I peeked, and I thought, well, she's all right. Praise God. And all of a sudden, the list of all her infirmities that she's had for years came out of my mouth in order. Like, her sister's so freaked out because her sister knows her sister. And right now, God is removing this and taking away this and aligning this, and this is never going to be again, and blah, 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 blah. And her sister's freaked out. She's knocked out. But her sister's bearing witness and crying. And God's just sweeping through her as I'm declaring, working with him, him working through me. It was so cool because I don't even know what's going on. I'm just saying, you know, it's just there. I have nothing to do with this, in other words. So she's there. We're praying. More good things are happening. A couple other people got hit by a hammer. I don't know why that happens to some of them like that, because it was really nasty. God, can't they just stand her and get healed? That's just kind of where I'm at, but I don't tell God what to do. But she got off the floor, guys, and she's just crying and sobbing. It's a beautiful story. She had such infirmity in her body. Her life's been so tormented and wrecked in her soul and all this stuff and guilt and all kinds of stuff. She got up off the floor and felt peace for the first time in her life and just knew that she knew God loved her. And all of a sudden she realized there's not a pain or symptom in her entire body since 1995. She's had not one day that she felt even slightly okay. And she's standing there going, and she just can't stop crying. So at the end of the night, she comes over and we realize she's not saved. It just kind of got realized. And she cried and got born again. And we got her water baptized. She came out of the water. She couldn't even stand up. She came out of the water and went, she's going. And we're trying to get her out of the water. Just like a drag her up the steps. She just looked drunk. I mean, she got up in the morning. She came into church just bawling. And she just said she's totally well. And it was so funny because she came over and she's just crying. It's so fun. I mean, she said, I want to thank you so much. Thank you. And I said, I mean, you can say thank you, but I'm blaming this all on Jesus. I had nothing. It's his fault. She hugged me. I said, honey, it is totally, I didn't hit you on the head. I didn't knock you down, and I didn't even say all that stuff. I said, he can bear it. I'm blaming it all on him. I'm putting it all on his shoulders. I had nothing to do with it. I was just there in position. He did it all. I said, it's his fault. And she laughed, and we had fun with it. And that was one of my highlights, to see the mercy of God come and touch a woman who ran from him for years, who the sister tried to get to come to church again and again, and she always talked around it. And all of a sudden, it isn't amazing, God compelled her to come by the Spirit. Sister, one more time, didn't give up, didn't let go. Honey, you got to come. I'll come get you myself. You come to church. This man's preaching the truth. Just come. And then all of a sudden, she's there. She's there. God melts her heart. She comes to the altar call, doesn't even know what's going on. She's just crying, crying, crying. And God whacks her and blesses her and loves her. How sweet is that? I don't know about you, man. I would drive 5 hours just to see one person touched like that. But it was a whole lot more stuff that went on like that. So, and it's all because of what we're doing right now. The reason this is possible, because a man named Jesus came, and he was God, but he was made to be a man. And he shed his blood and gave his body to redeem us. That means to bring us back to original value. And God cut a covenant with his son. He made it with Jesus. It can't be broken. You can't break it. You can break fellowship with it. You can step out of that covenant, but the covenant can't be broken. It's between God and his son. And his son's a man. That's the catch right there. That's how he scammed the devil, not in a deceptive way, just his amazing wisdom. It was hidden from the devil because God's so wise. Do you know what I mean? It's not like he had to deceive him. He had no idea what he was doing. He killed a man that was innocent and pure. And through the Spirit of holiness, he raised from the dead, and now his blood is on the mercy seat. And that man sat down forever as a man representing all mankind forever through innocence, through purity, so that the guilty can go free, so that the lost can be found, so that the bound can get delivered. Come on, the love of God is in this. And it just represents it, what we're doing right here. So I want you to take this very personally today and know that the blood of Jesus is the blood of the new covenant. And this is not styrofoam today, guys. This is definitely going to be more powerful today. This was even warm. I broke this off. It was warm, baby. It wasn't white and it was warm. The body that was broken. Think about the love in that. Think about a totally innocent, pure person coming and paying the price, taking the rap, taking the blame, if you will. You know, growing up in a house of siblings, somebody does something and everybody is all on edge and the parents looking and everybody's, I didn't do it, I didn't do it. It's as if Jesus stepped up, never sinning, saying, I'm guilty, I did it. I deserve to die. You think about that. Who'll stand up and take the blame for this? I did it. That's really, it's like what he said, just judge me as if I did it. I'll pay the price, I'll die as if I did it. And when he did that, it opened the door for you and I to go free and be filled with the same spirit that raised him from the dead and be sons and daughters once again, because that's what we've always been since the beginning. That's what we were created to be, sons and daughters. Oh my goodness. So as we take this, man, just be full of heart today. Don't ever let yourself get religious, okay? Don't do this because we can and it's the Christian thing to do. The whole story of our lives is wrapped up here. You find who you are because of these elements and what they represent. You find out why you're even alive when you really understand what we're doing this morning. Does this make sense? You find out why you're here. Because you're created to be sons and daughters. So Lord Jesus, we thank you for the body that you gave. Father, we want to just personally honor you this morning and thank you. And I'm going to open my heart and know that we'll all agree it. Thank you for your wisdom, that hidden wisdom that was in Christ before the foundation of the world that Satan had no clue of, and that you're causing us to understand now. That you put flesh on your son Jesus, that you made what was spirit, and you caused it to be flesh and come through the womb of a woman, just like we all have. Didn't take a shortcut. Came as a man. Came through the womb of a woman. Needed his little cloths changed. Needed to be breastfed. Needed to use the restroom like every one of us. It's amazing to me. You didn't take a shortcut. You became a man. You sweated in the heat. You walked and got tired. It's revealed in John 4. You came in the likeness of sinful flesh. But yet you never sinned, your heart one with the Father, showing us the way, living a life that we're created to live, living a life that we were destined for. And you brought us all back to truth because truth came and dwelt among us. Thank you that the Word was made flesh. Yes. We just take this bread today and we honor you. We honor you for your selflessness. We honor you for your unfailing love. We honor you for your integrity. You are surely someone to follow. Let all that you are be all that we are, Lord God. Let a grace come on us today in taking this that would just sober us more, illuminate us more, give us more revelation, and cause us to understand our sonship even more. Let us walk in a higher understanding of grace today just because of this moment, because we take this with all sincerity and we say thank you for becoming a man. And thank you for making us sons and daughters. We receive the body right now that was broken and given for us. And we know that it paid the price for the effects of sin. As we take this, we stand redeemed, brought back to original value. As we receive this body right now into our being, we just receive wholeness right now. That pains leave. That any kinds of conflict in our anatomy or our bodies would just leave. Because it's as if we've never sinned because of what we're holding in this cup. We are judged spotless and pure, holy before you. And we just thank you right now for the body of Jesus Christ. Thank him personally before you put that in your mouth. Make sure you take this personally and not just corporately. And you just thank him that all that he is, he gave to you on that cross. He faced death and destroyed it. He raised from the dead. And because he raised from the dead, the Bible says we are all justified as if we've never sinned. Thank you, King Jesus. Whenever you're ready, you take that. Thank you, thank you, thank you for the passion of your cross. Thank you that it never becomes a story to us. Thank you, it's our reality. We live by this. Thank you for the grace that keeps our hearts alive. Lord, we hold up the blood of the new covenant, and we just thank you that our sins are removed. We are washed clean. Through the death of one innocent man, you made the guilty go free. Through one act of unrighteousness, all were made unrighteous, but through one act of obedience, we were restored back to our original value. I don't know about you guys, but I'm just saying this to God. You have changed my heart forever. The integrity of this gospel, the love of this gospel has melted me. I have eyes for no other. I have room for nothing else. You've captured me. I'm undone. You've captured me. I believe like never before. I understand what Peter said. Where else would I go? Life is in you alone. It's the greatest thing I've ever heard and understood, this gospel, and I thank you for it. We hold up the cup of the new covenant. We acknowledge your blood that speaks on our behalf better things than the blood of judgment. We thank you for the mercy of God. And we drink this knowing that we're pure in your sight. Thank you for your love. Man, God, I worship you. Thanks, Daddy.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. I was probably in love when I got here, but if I wasn't, I am now. I think I was, though. But I am now. I watched him speak life into teenagers this weekend. This is so fun. You're preaching from the pulpit, and they're sitting on the front row, and it's not your fault they're sitting on the front row. And you're preaching, and you end up going right up to one while you're preaching a certain thing that is just going right into them because it's their life. And then you're preaching. It's all in your sermon, but it's right to them. It's so fun. It happened a couple times. And you get right down, and you're talking, and you're looking right in their eyes. And you're just preaching, and they're done. They just go, they're done. It's just too amazing. There was a young man who just came out of drug addiction, and he was sitting on the front, and he's going. That's just what he was the whole time. It was just sweet. We got to pray for a lot of folks and see God do a lot of good things. Thank you, sir. Oh, I feel happy. Stay fresh in the gospel, guys. Amen? Receiving the love of God, nothing compares to your ability to spend time with Him. Okay? It's not about a daily devotion. I've been saying that the whole school. I'm not against daily devotions. If you do them with Him. Amen? This can't sound redundant to you. Don't let it sound redundant. That would be deception. Nothing compares to your ability to spend time with Him. To know Him, to get to know Him, to talk to Him and commune with Him. Don't pursue knowledge, pursue knowing Him. We started this school, so it wouldn't matter if we'd end this school in the final week of just in all you're getting, get understanding. You get understanding through being face to face, through getting close to Him, through conveying and communing to Him personally. Watch this. When nobody else is around, that's the greatest grace for knowing Him, when nobody else is around. That's when it becomes your reality. You following me? Don't do yourself the inservice and injustice of doing a lot of Christian things and being in all the right atmospheres, all the right meetings, all the right services, and fail to meet Him when no one else is around. Don't get so busy, so distracted, and so pulled into everything that's available around you to where you fail to commune with Him from your heart as if He's right there with you. That's a place you grow in. That's a place you'll have every opportunity not to enter into. Because it's Satan's worst nightmare. It doesn't feel that real to me. Well, it feels like I'm just saying words. And I've heard all, I'm just going to be straight. I'm not pointing to you. I've heard all the excuses, whether they're known excuses or not. I've heard all the excuses possible on that one. There's no reason we can't be with Him. He has opened the door wide, and faith will take you through the door, right, Mitch? Faith will take you through the door. I'm talking simple stuff, waking up in the morning and not even moving to get out of bed yet. Father, thank you for loving me. I am so blessed that I can be alive today and wake up knowing I'm clean in your presence and that I'm your will and your choice. And Holy Spirit, thank you for leading me today. I'm talking commune with him, not praying about stuff. Knowing him. Nothing compares to that ability. If you're not careful, you let your mind get full of all kinds of other stuff and you get out of the bed and feel anxious. You get out of bed and you'll just be like, oh, it's in front of you today. And then your greatest spirituality will be, God, you're going to help me get through or I'll never make it. And you'll think that's prayer. All right? Come on. Some of you know what I mean. We've been there. It's not prayer. Get to know him. I don't know what this week's going to look like. We're going to do a few questions if people didn't have them resolved last week or answered because of time. I felt in my heart this morning, I wasn't even thinking about the school. It just came on my heart at the time. Not that I wasn't thinking about the school or you guys like, well, thinking about the school. I don't pray. I don't pray and seek God for the day or the school. I just don't. That's just, I know some could say that's unprepared. I just don't do that. So I'll find out someday if I'm wrong, but I don't feel like I have to do that. But I came on my heart that just to talk a little bit this week, and not extensively, and it'll probably be in a different light than you expect, talk a little bit about gifts, words of knowledge, prophecy, and things like that before the school wraps up. Okay? But it'll probably be in a little different light than you expect, but there's a way that the Lord raised in my heart today that I felt like we needed to touch that this week at some point. And teach it a certain way. And I'll give you a little heads up on that just so you're not wondering. I'm not trying to tease you into anything. When I was about 6 months old in the Lord, I had moved in every gift of the Spirit that's listed in the Bible. By 6 months in the Lord and had never been taught about any of them. Now that's exciting to me. I had no knowledge of what they even were, and I didn't even know that I was moving in them. I was just in relationship with Jesus. Sometimes we get the knowledge and then we try to apply it, and the knowledge creates a pressure on our life to where now we know what we should be walking in, and then we weigh what we're not walking in. And then we're under this pressure, and then that's our barometer, and we never feel real good about our spiritual life because our knowledge is actually working against us. So I'm just going to give you a little idea of some things this week in the giftings. Not that we can't teach him and not that it's not important. But I promise you, everything flows out of knowing him. When he says desire spiritual gifts, even right before that, two words before that, he says pursue love. Desire. Is it right to desire spiritual gifts? You better believe it. If they're available, I want them. And I want them all, George, right? I don't just want one and, hey, you can have the rest. No, you have them too and I'll take them too. I want them all. What's the best gifts? The one needed at the time. Don't limit me with one. You're not gonna. You don't have the ability to limit with one. You can't teach to me long enough to limit me to one. So I'm going to move in more. Sit right under your teaching and move in more. See, I'm not being arrogant. I'm not being arrogant right now. I'm just being real. Why? Because the world needs who Jesus is in our spirit. And don't think that he's just divvying out little pieces of the pie if you're submitted, surrendered, understanding, and becoming like him. He is not limiting the flow of who he is now that he went to the extent of giving all that he is so he could put himself in you. He's not like, well, I'll just let you taste a little of me today so that they can get a little drink today. And I can't really use you in this because this is what I gave you. And sometimes people think that stuff. Now you become love and the river flows. Isn't it amazing that I had never had a teaching on these gifts and realized by 6 months old in the Lord, I had moved in everyone. I'd seen a recreated miracle at 3 months old in the Lord. I had a word of knowledge at 4 months old in the Lord. I had discernment of spirits. I had words of knowledge, other ones. It was all happening, and I just attributed it to Christ in me. I didn't even see it as a gift. I just saw it as the flow of my life because we're one. And here's what I knew. I knew he was in me and he loved me and we were one. And I knew that I was yielded to him and I just wanted him. And whatever you want to do in me and through me, man, have your way. I'm glad you've captured me. That's what I knew. And everything flowed from that simple foundation without ever hearing a teaching on that stuff. Why? Because it's all in the Spirit of God. It's all in his love. It's just good. At 9 months old in the Lord, I went to a ministry class and all of a sudden realized, oh my goodness, the church has names for all this stuff. And almost has methods and ways to serious. I went to a 13-month school. And I didn't sign up for the school. I just attended it because I wasn't sure my schedule and committed and all that. And I didn't sign up for it, but I was allowed to sit in. It was open to the public, but you could have went through the school and got a license to minister. I wasn't even thinking that. I just thought I'm going to catch this teaching. My heart was zealous. But what was funny was the things they were talking about and putting definition to, I was like, oh, that's what that is. It was so fun. To me, it was so healthy. It was like, oh my goodness, that, yeah. And I'm thinking, so they had all these homework assignments to go out and move in this thing. And I just took my homework assignments and filled them out on my own because I wasn't turning mine in. I just filled them out on my own. It was just like helping me to relate to how God was moving in my life. I would just fill them out because I already had those experiences. It was just neat. Do you know what I'm saying? Without ever having a teaching. Denying yourself and understanding what that means. Sincerely being sincere. Because you can't bite your lip and die to the flesh. But you can sincerely want to. You can sincerely want to. That's the big deal right there. When you sincerely want to in your communion life, that'll be revealed. That'll be expressed. That'll be realized. Even if you don't spend a lot of words there, and grace will make that your reality where the flesh is surrendered, where it's quenched, where it's crucified. You follow what I'm saying? Here's what I mean. The night I got saved, I was sure I hated my wife. In my feelings, in my mind. I had a resume built that told me, why have I wasted my 13 years with her? And when I thought about her, I felt in human emotion that I hated her. Okay? When I got saved that night, okay, I'm born again. I didn't want to live for me anymore. I didn't want to be selfish. I saw my life as pitiful, and I didn't want to live my life anymore for me. And I thought, if you're real and you love me, have a plan for me, my life's yours. I'll live for you. And the Spirit of God came upon me. Now watch. The Spirit of God came upon me and made me realize he was real in the level of my surrender. In the level of my surrender, my heart saw him. It was like, you're real. God, and it was overwhelming. A half hour after that experience, my mind thought about my wife. And for the first time in my life, I knew I loved. The one that I was sure I hated an hour before. I loved her and never heard a teaching on love. I knew I loved her. I was able to see her apart from everything that I held her accountable for. I actually had felt sorry for her in a healthy way, like a godly sorrow, like all I put her through. And, oh my God, I've taxed her. I've never been a man of God to her. Oh, that precious thing. No wonder she's been this way. And I've just been aggravated and agitated by her. And I am the one that brought all that out in her. Oh my God. And I just wanted to hold her. And I loved her. I'd never loved anybody ever. Up until that point, because God wasn't in me, and he's love. You can't love without God. It's human affection, human emotion. It's all self-centered. It's all selfish. It's selfish-rooted. I don't care how starry-eyed you are and how you say you're in love. If Jesus isn't in your life, it's not love. Not something I'm not going to preach to the world to pick on them and fight and debate. I'm just saying, spiritually knowing and understanding, you can't love without God, because God is love. You can need, and you can want, and you can say, I love you, all you want. But all you're saying is, I love you, do you love me? I love you for me. Without God in your life, you can't love. So I was bankrupt. But when God came into my life, why was I able to love her? Because love came inside of me. And watch this. And selfishness stepped aside. Now that has to come out of your heart. You don't want to live for you ever again. You don't ever want to violate your creative value. You don't ever want to supersede the potential of His life in you with self-will. You've got to get that in your heart. And through prayer and communion with Him, that will become yours. That's how you cannot be hurt anymore. That's how you cannot be offended anymore. That's how you can walk in peace. Why? Because you've settled that in this place of intimacy, communion, that it's your heart desire like it's His, but in your own strength, you can't pull it off. In your own ability, you're powerless. And all of a sudden, grace comes and molds you and shapes you and makes you His workmanship created in Christ. You get it? I know it sounds like a repeat class. It feels real important in my heart to talk about this stuff. We don't want knowledge to puff us up. And we want to be sure that we just don't get to know so much that in the long run what we know is starting to bite us and say, well, if you know all this, why ain't your life like this? That's what people hear. Now I know all this and it ain't the reflection of my life. And then it's just this deep down inside, ugh, and it kind of judges you. Do you know what I'm saying? I don't want a whole bunch of knowledge. I want to know Him. And in knowing Him, I'll have a bunch of knowledge. But it's not just head knowledge. It's heart knowing it. So I'll close with this on this topic. It's not just people being healed when you pray. It's not people feeling the presence of God when you hold their hands. It's not that. That's not what makes you who you are. It's being with Him. It's being with Him. It's knowing Him. Because you can live out of your gift. You can live out of the fact that everybody you touch is feeling the presence of God. And you might be in touch with your gift. And you might learn to believe that, hey, God flows through me when I touch people. But this is what takes you through your life, through every trial, through everything that gets in your face. And if you don't have this, here's what you'll do when all this stuff's coming at you. Man, I don't know why all this is going on. I mean, God's in me. Every time I touch people, they feel His presence. God, why don't you? How come? Where? Oh. And all of a sudden, you're not even receiving the reality of what you're ministering because you're just in touch with the gift. I've seen this stuff so much that I talk about it a lot. I want you to look at Mark 3 real quick, and then we're going to ask anybody that has any questions. I'll close with this. I don't know. I just got on this little topic. I had no plan of really sharing it. I feel like sometime this week we'll talk a little bit about some of the gifts and the simplicity of moving in them and the importance of moving in them. Amen? Not so much when we're together to feel spiritual or to show others that we're flowing in God. It's not so much to press in and want God to move just because we're at the altar. But in your life is the big deal for the gifts. I'm not telling you to do this. I personally don't even look for a lot of gifts to flow when I'm in the church and at the altar because I know how the church gets affected by it. They look to the people moving in that way. Next thing you know, people are calling you for a word. Next thing you know, people are saying, well, look, I just pray for me. I know God will show you. I'm like, no, just ask me. Asking it shall be given. Let's stop getting spooky. Just talk to me. It's like, I don't know what we do, why we do that stuff. But it's like, I think it's because we're searching for more God reality. And we want to be wowed by the gift instead of wowed by Him. I'm wowed by Him, man. Serious. And the gifts are awesome. Not wowed by the gift, I'm wowed by Him. This weekend, in that flow of the Spirit, at the redemption thing, it's just par for the course. It just flows in the love for people, just all the words and eyes. But He wants to do that. In all the other settings and services that we had, it was Body of Christ ministry, and it was God, and He's healing. I mean, He healed a whole bunch of people. And then in that personal place, it was for them. And that's where you'll see that stuff flow a lot of times. Because, you know, somebody just needs... It was like Consuela said last week or the other week about that time at Penn Grove. And she was thinking in her mind, God, you must really... I can't believe you put up with me. I can't believe you put up with me. You know, da-da-da. And I hadn't talked to her. I haven't been around her much. You know, I was staying away from her. I'm kidding. I'm so kidding. I thought you would chuckle. I just wasn't around. I hadn't been around.
No, you don't. And I tried to say that as casual and serious as I could to see if anybody catch it, but I had to laugh. I couldn't even say it without laughing. But it meant something to her. But it's stuff that only God knows. God knows. He's so personal. So that's why the gifts are important. It's so personal that he knows what's going on in her mind and heart. So then I'm married to Pengrove. She comes up for prayer. I get in front of her and I say, you know what I mean? God doesn't tolerate you. He loves you. And she just balls. But that's sweet. You want to flow in that. But you don't want to just pursue to flow in that. You want to pursue him, pursue love, and desire his love to manifest through your life in the form of any way he wants. You get it? So keep that stuff real simple. Don't just get caught up in word of knowledge, prophecy. I know it says that y'all prophesy. Prophecy is just divine utterance. It speaks. So if you're getting one with him and your heart is becoming his heart and his heart's your heart and you are one, when you speak, there's divine utterance. You'll prophesy a lot of times and won't even realize you're doing it. You'll speak into somebody's life just in conversation. It doesn't have to have a specific platform and a specific setting. You could actually live prophetic and just speak life and speak destiny and be an encourager. You can actually live with a prophetic conversation and language because of your relationship with them. Come on, that's so powerful. It's not just, don't separate it to like, thus says the Lord, or I have a word. You know? No, I have a word. It's like, you could just, this could be absolutely, when it's sincere, it could be totally prophetic. You could come up to Justin and you could say, Justin, man, you are amazing. I'll tell you, God has an amazing plan for you and his hands upon your life. I just love you, man, and I encourage you, and I just want you to be encouraged, etc. And you're saying everything that God would say to him if he was standing there. Tell me that's not prophetic. Sometimes we think it has to be a word in a specific setting, and, you know, you're thinking of purchasing this building, and you have this other land on your mind. Who knows that's all out there and that's available? Who knows that's all good? But let's not miss the beauty of saying what God's saying. That's simply prophecy, divine utterance. This is saying what God's saying. Okay? And you know what we do tend to do? The people, you have to understand that no man has anything unless it's been given by God. And when somebody, it's you need to honor the prophet in the name of a prophet. What that means is you honor the divine revelation, every ounce of grace on his life, etc. But we have to be careful that you're not just putting the people. It's the gift you honor. It's God's moving through the people. I know a man that was a backslidden Christian, got back into drugs, living in condemnation, passed a man and the lady was in a wheelchair, and he got talking, and the man started crying and said about his wife, and the Spirit of God in the backslidden, back into drugs man rose up down on the inside in compassion, and he saw the wife through the eyes of Jesus for a glimmer, and he prayed over her and hadn't even talked to God for 2 years. And we're trying to pray harder and fast harder and work for more of God. Ah! It's becoming love. It's seeing his heart and seeing his heart for you and his heart for others. Here's this guy backslidden, doing drugs, hasn't even talked to God for 2 years. And he says, you can be healed. Jesus paid a price for you. He starts preaching the gospel. He was just high. He might have still been. Be healed. Get up in Jesus. And the lady's totally healed. The man's freaking out. And then the guy that's the drug addict and backslidden state goes, oh my God. And he just wanted to run. Because it's like, there's God. And he's freaked out in the soul. And he's, do you have a paper? Do you have a pen? And this guy's going, oh my God, what's going on? And you think the guy would have been like, oh, and got right and repented. Jesus, this is amazing. No, he had his own issues, his own soul, his own. But yet, the gift on the inside, the knowledge that was buried down the inside, it rose up in a time of need. And God moved through a man in that state because he loved her and wanted to send a message to her. And he was the best one around. It's not works, it's grace. It's the
is not like, oh, you mighty man of God. He would be like, what? Is that man a mighty man of God? Yep, created to be. He's not living in that state. He's not having that revelation in his soul, but it didn't change the truth in his spirit. And all of a sudden, the lady's healed. Guess what he did? He scribbled down my name, my number, handed it to the family, said, call this man, he'll explain everything. And he took off running. True story. Took off running. So this family calls me confused and healed. Miracle. It was a miracle. I mean, she's not in the wheelchair. Healed right on the spot. Does that mean you don't study and show yourself approved, spend time in prayer, etc., and seek God and all that? Like, no, no, no. But it means it's grace. It's grace. It doesn't mean go do drugs and be backslidden and hope compassion rises in your heart when you see human need. If you're in fellowship with God, what blocks the compassion of God in our lives anyway? Self-consciousness, a rut in the soul, just condemnation. Why would God use me? Come on. Man, the closer you stay this way, the more you're in tune with the flow of that compassion. The more you're looking through His eyes. So many times we're trying to look through a whole mixed bag of stuff to see. So this guy, he calls me and I'm talking to him. And I said, man, what'd this guy look like? And I described the guy. And it's like the Lord showed me who it was. I just knew who it was. It was somebody I didn't know well, but I'd known for a season. And he used to come to our Sunday night services. And I tracked him down and I called him. I got a hold of him. And I said, hey, did you recently pray for somebody in a wheelchair? He's, yeah. Did they call? And then I went after him. I did. I went after him. Man, you talk about prophesy. And you know what he did? Came back to church. We built him back up and got him stirred up. And I haven't talked to him for a long time, so I can't tell you how he's doing today. I just want to believe the best that he's doing okay. But he got back on track. But it was astounding to me that the love and mercy of God, that was as much for the man that was in the backslidden state as the person in the wheelchair. That was like two birds with one stone. God's just like multi-purpose, man. He's like, you get it?
Mary and I have witnessed two accounts. One, there was a girl who was a crack addict who was high as a kite, and Mary ministered to her, and she spoke in tongues for the first time while she was high as a kite on crack.
And immediately sobered.
She immediately sobered up. And she said, I'm amazed at the power of God. Mary didn't know what she was talking about until she explained it. I ministered to a guy who was a chronic alcoholic, drank every day, and he was drunk as a skunk. And I ministered to him, and he spoke in tongues.
I never understood that phrase, by the way. I didn't even know skunks drank. I've heard that my whole life. I need understanding right now, since it's on tape, and we can all get understanding. Everyone that listens to this tape, what does drunk as a skunk mean anyway? Does anybody know where that came from? Just the correlation of the rhyme, the smell. So we have some thoughts here. The smell, like, okay. Anybody else can help me with that? I need teaching. I'm in school right now. Somebody teach me. Drunk as a skunk. I'm just having fun. It just struck me because I never understood that one. So it's a rhyme. That's what Dick said. It's just the correlation of words. It just goes together. Drunk as a skunk. Okay, because I never met a drunk skunk, and I was just wondering. Okay, go ahead.
He didn't. I can't say he sobered up, but he spoke in tongues while he was drunk, and he started crying, and he just couldn't believe it—the love of God.
That's it right there. When I hear that testimony, it's just a sign of God's amazing mercy. Do you know what Satan cannot defeat ever? The mercy of God. Well, the mercy flows out of love. So love's a correct answer in the sense of, but mercy is an expression of love. Mercy is the expression, it's the outflowing of God's love because we're in need of mercy because mercy brings you, mercy is like, think about mercy. You don't deserve anything. You haven't earned anything. You're at the bottom, and mercy puts you on top without doing a thing, just receiving it. And just saying thank you. And all of a sudden the integrity of that mercy gets into you and puts integrity into you. Do you get what I'm saying? If the gospel's understood clearly, it's what puts diligence in you. When you understand the gospel clearly, that's what disciplines you, puts integrity and causes a love for God, a discipline, a obedience, a self-control. It comes into your life by understanding clearly. You don't love God. God first loved you. The clearer you see and understand the person of God and the integrity of God, the more integrity you'll carry. You're not just trying to be integral. It's birthed in you. It's multiplied. God is reproductive. It's multiplied. Do you get it? That's why he created us, to multiply himself. Without creating us in his image, where does God go from here? So he's just God, and he has this world and creatures and fear. But who does he relate to? Where does God go from here? God wants to relate. God made us in his image, and he multiplied and reproduced himself after his own kind. We had this talk last, I think it was last week, Dick and maybe Bruce, and I think it was Bruce. You know, I was using about the phrase we say, the woman's the completion of man. And it's not because man was lacking anything. It's not like a missing piece of a puzzle. We almost think that, you know, without the woman, man's not fulfilled. That's not what it means. It means she's the completion because now there's an avenue. There's someone comparable so that this multiplication, reproduction, thing. I'm not talking babies. I'm talking the flow of love. All of a sudden, man, because where does he? Here's this man chock full of God. He's in God's image. He's walking through the earth looking just like God and with the nature of God and the wisdom of God. And he's naming all the animals. He has the capacity of God. Great. That's great. But where does he go from here? Now he's in the state that God was in before he made him. You say, well, he could just. No, God wants to cover the earth with his glory. That's the glory of God in man. And all of a sudden, he's just be fruitful and multiply till the glory of the Lord covers the earth. So he brings forth a woman out of that fullness, and then man has completion. Why? Because there's somewhere to flow with it now. It can go. It's not because he was empty. She's not the missing piece of a puzzle so that he's full. He's already full. She's his completion because now there's an avenue to flow. Now this thing can land somewhere and increase and be more. Do you get that? Come on. It's so good. That's so good. And that's the position I believe that God's heart was in when he made man. Because where does he go from here? He's amazing. He says, man, I ought to just fill the earth with amazing. So he made us. Yay. And then we were born into Adam, and we're like, amazing. We're losers. You know? Everything I touch breaks. You know? Why would God consider me? And then we sing songs, oh, wretched man that I am. Oh, God. We've been so scammed. Forgive me. I was traveling all weekend. I'm just in love. It's the effects of love. I've been honeymooning. You had a question?
Yeah, day before yesterday, I can't say that I really have love for any adult, and I don't know if it was God telling me you have no love for any adult, or if it was just me realizing that. So on that note, do I need born again? About the love?
No, you need, it's knowing God. The Bible says, watch. Beloved, let us love one another, for God is love. He that loveth God, right? Or he that, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Everyone who loveth is born of God. I had to sing the children's song to get the scripture right. Loveth God. Everyone who loveth God. Loveth is born of God. Stop. I'm already messing up, Deb. Stop. I don't need encouragement. She's trying to relate to sister and I'm trying to talk and look. Stop, Deb. I'm having fun. Oh, God. Sorry. Did you guys pay to come here or something? This is like pitiful. What? It's like, he that loveth.
I am so in trouble right now. I can't even think of the scripture. Even love, beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He who loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. He doesn't say you're not born of God. There's a place for knowing God. You can see your need for a Savior. Do you know you've missed the mark? Do you know you've lived outside the will of God? Do you understand that you've sinned in your life and you realize Jesus paid the price for all men's sin? That has touched your heart. Consuela, that has touched your heart. You're in this thing. You're in this school. Why? Because you care. You want God more. You want to live the Christian life. You want to understand the reality of a transformed life and the born-again experience. Right? So is your heart in a good place? Absolutely. He who loveth not knoweth not God. But one of the biggest wrestlings in our life is knowing God intimately. Not intellectually. One of the biggest challenges in your life, and what Satan wants to stop and interrupt and violate and invade and distract you from, is knowing God intimately, not intellectually, to where His love literally invades you and captivates you and comes upon you, to where you see for the first time maybe your value, the truth about you, the person you really are. And I'll tell you, it's over from that point for you. That's a good day. Because here's what happens. That love, and all of a sudden you realize how God sees you, and all of a sudden you realize that's how He sees all men, because He created all men in His image, and if He sees me that way. So all of a sudden, for the first time, we might truly, actually, you could be going to church for 5, 6, 8, 10 years, and all of a sudden, for the first time, you really, in your heart, in communion with Him, realize, I'm forgiven. Serious. I'm clean. I'm forgiven. You hold nothing. You love me. Ah, you love me. People get alone sometimes and you'd think they lost their mind, and they did. Serious, because that thing that was robbed, they lost that thing that was in the way. And all, if you'd have saw me the night I got saved, you'd have thought I needed serious help now. No, I was getting it. You have no idea. If I'd acted out, I don't even think I could act it out. It was so real and overwhelming. My eyes were this big, and I'm at work, and I'm way more dramatic than you see me right now. I'm like, oh, you're real! And I'm screaming louder than you can imagine. At work. Oh my God, you're real! Ah! Ah! That's what I did. I did that for 10 minutes. Because I was like, because watch, in my heart, I did not want to live another day for me. I was so aware of the wretchedness of my heart, the selfish blindness of my life. I was so aware that I had no capacity to do good in the sense of good, that everything had self-connotation. I was always at the root of everything I did. It always came back to me, and I realized how lost I was in myself. And I was crying, and I was like, I didn't want to live that way. I felt like so, and I knew in my heart, I didn't want to live another day from that place. And I surrendered it. I didn't see it as a privilege. I saw it as a curse. Self. And I laid it down, and I said, I'll live for you. And when I said that out of my mouth, the reality of God went in a measure that I didn't think I could even handle. I went nuts. In the outward, like you would have thought I needed 911. Because one moment I'm standing there with a case in my hand. Like you have no idea. My life is so pitiful. I'm so selfish. I don't even know if you're for real. This is unbelievable. I drop the case on the thing. I'm just standing there, and I'm just dying, crying, like, and I'm saying, I'm talking like I'm talking to the air. I am so, so selfish. I don't even love anybody. I said, I want everybody to love what I don't even like. I don't even like who I am. That's how bad it was. And I looked up, and I said,
if you're for real. And I'm so like, I said, if you love me, have a plan for my life, if you can forgive me of all these things. That's how bad it was. And have a plan for my life. And it's like I sucked it up right at that moment. I will live for you. I was never so serious. I was so serious. I will live for you. You know what I was saying? I will never live for me again. That was the vow in my heart. Didn't mean I would never fail that or know what I even knew what I was saying, but I knew what I meant. And I meant it. And God was waiting since the day I was born for me to get in that place to where he could invade me and capture me. And he chained me. He put shackles of righteousness on me. He locked it tight and threw the key away. Nobody knows where it is. He said, this is your state forever. You are chained to righteousness. You are bound to be mine and clean in my sight for every day of your life. You are forever a son. And in my bondage, I go free. Do you get it? A slave unto righteousness. Sounds like I'm a prisoner. I am. I'm held captive. Captive by his love. Nowhere to run, nowhere to hide. Forever embraced. You get it? Oh God, I don't know. Are we okay? We've got to live from that place. Because then, Consuela, watch what happens. All of a sudden, I'm not trying to forgive you because I'm supposed to because it's scriptural. All of a sudden, I'm forgiving you because I am so forgiven. And I realize if he forgave me at that level, how couldn't I forgive you at any level? All of a sudden, I have mercy for you. Why? So that I get mercy from God, so I obtain mercy? Because I have obtained mercy. And all of a sudden, mercy is the simplest, natural, most obvious flow of my life. Why? Because that's why I'm alive. And it's what I become, and it's all I have to give, because it's all I have. I'm not trying to be merciful. I'm not trying to forgive. I'm not trying to like you. I'm not, I love you, but I don't have to like you. That is whacked. No, every person's made him, every mountain's brought low. Every valley is lifted up. What do you have in that picture? Even playing field. An impartial, unbiased God that made every man in his image, and we're all in need of his righteous judgment and the shedding of his blood. There's no hot shot and there's no low life. There's people that are created in his image that are lost sons and daughters that he wants to obtain. Oh, it just sounds so good. Amen? So be careful to not have those experiences and let the enemy feed them with, well, maybe I'm not even saved. Father, I thank you I'm saved because I see my need for a Savior. I've looked into my own life and heart and realized there's things that have operated many times that have nothing to do with you and don't even look like you. Be a good prayer. Nobody's looking. And God, I surrender myself to you because I don't want to live apart from you. I can't change myself. I submit it to you. And I thank you for working your kingdom in me, showing me your love, creating in me that brand new heart and causing me to see people just the way you do. First of all, by seeing myself in your sight. You can just start praying things that are real like that. Things that are real to God and real in the Christian experience that might not be real to you yet, but they're all scriptural. The biggest lie is, oh, you're just, feels like nothing's happening, brother. I'm just sitting on the bed talking to the sky, talking to the wall. Well, it just feels like words, brother, to me. I don't do that much because it just, I did, I tried that, and that's deception. Stop that. It's not 30-day money-back guarantee. It's not 60-day try me, see if you like me. It's not, hey, go give me a test run. If I'm not working out for you, hey, bring me back. No, the just live by faith. And when you start saying, well, I tried that, I did that, you've surrendered faith, you put it back on the shelf, and you said, I'm going to live out of how I feel, not what he says. And that's a day of deception already. True?
True. He hears all those prayers.
He hears all those prayers, Mary.
Can I speak to that? Because I lived under that deception for years.
Okay.
And can I tell you how good God is?
Yeah, tell me how good God is. Tell me how good he is, girl.
About 3 years ago, I had this dream. And I thought, boy, that's really weird. It was about the end. So I go to work. I thought, oh, it was bad pizza I had or something, you know. So I start telling one of my coworkers about this dream. He goes, he got down on his hands and knees and he said, stop it. Don't tell me anymore. And the fear of the Lord fell on me. And I was like, wow, God must have talked to me.
Right.
You know? So I was like, Jesus, you do love me. You do care about me. So from that day forward, I went back to church. I got, you know, the Lord just carried me along. That day forward, but I didn't understand how much he cared for me until he gave me that vision. Mm-hmm. And I was in this for over 40 years, the sea.
And all through just a little lack of understanding, needing a revelation.
I never thought I was saved. I never felt I was saved.
Right. And that lie just keeps you then, see, because if you start believing that, then it puts you back to striving, struggling, discouragement, frustration. Well, whatever. Well, if I didn't get it by now, I'm never going to get it. Do you hear what people say? Do you hear how the mind starts working? And it's all negative. It's all stalemating you. And if your mind is working in a place that's not increasing you and not encouraging you, you get what I'm saying? The mindset cannot be the Lord. Cannot. I'll get you, Donna. Mary had her hand up there for a while, and she seems persistently... I thought you were worshiping. I thought, wow, she's... No, go ahead.
Well, you're talking about this and, like, out of the undersea and everything, and how through that we become love and everything. And tied in with that, like, the next time there was a baptism at the Y... I know, Dean, you were there. Mm-hmm. You got there that time.
I was there. You guys came out of the water. I was right there, baby. Him and Sue, that was sweet, man.
Yeah. Oh. I went home.
2 or 3 years.
Was that 2 or 3 years ago? Dean, 2, 3?
Feels like yesterday. Something like that.
Yeah,
it might have been 3.
That was like one of the most incredible days of my life in the Lord. Because it was like such an intimate time to go in there, not just as an individual, but as couples, to go in there and do that together.
It was incredible.
Because my marriage was at a kind of a really weird place at the time. And it was in my heart to just be so one. You know, not just with my spouse, but with the Lord. And I think it was you, or Todd, I think it was you that baptized us. And I remember it was like this, like the water like felt hot. Like, I mean,
it was incredible.
But I mean, it was really hot in that water.
I remember.
And
I was standing right there.
Yeah. But I mean, I remember going.
It was because I was there.
I remember when I went down there, I was just like, Lord, I want to so die to myself because I don't want to do this anymore.
You're finished. Do you hear what she's saying? What? Made a draw on that kind of experience in the heat, the water, and the manifestation of God. Do you hear the heart cry? Watch. I just so want to be one. There's no ability, no wisdom, maybe to even know how to make that work. Can't control your spouse. It's not even conditional on your spouse. I just so want to be one. There's a heart cry. God attends that heart cry. Guaranteed. Go ahead.
I remember coming up out of her an absolute mess.
You were a mess.
I was so drunk and
the presence of God.
Coming up speaking in tongues and just whoa, and Pat's like, what is the matter with you? And it was just God, it was vibrant, and it was just the most incredible. It was like Jesus was right there and had me. And wasn't letting go. And that was like the pinnacle point of my life.
Yeah.
You know, in the church hall. All these years and never experienced anything to that intensity.
Right.
Keeping your heart cry alive, guys. If Satan can crush your heart cry. Your heart cry. I had a lady call me last night in despair. And I called her and she's talking and talking and I I said, you know, I talked to her. If you'd heard me, you'd have thought, if you didn't understand and hear the whole conversation, you'd have thought I was frustrated with her. I was talking so intense. I was accosting every lie. It was just every lie. And I was talking to her so stern and so straight to shake her. There's sometimes you got to shake people, snatch them out of the fire. There's sometimes you save with compassion, you're gentle, and there's times you, it was one of those times it was bam, and I said, you hear the tone of my voice? It's because of the severity of what's going on. And her husband had committed suicide 6 years ago, and now here she is 6 years later, and that thing's trying to multiply in her soul and get her to follow through with the thing that broke her heart and actually become the product of the very thing that crushed her at that time. And da-da-da-da-da. And then she made this comment. And we sell ourselves so short and so cheap in such a lame and shallow way. She said, well, I just don't think I care anymore. I said, kiddo, that's ridiculous. Listen to that. That's ridiculous. That's how I talked to her. Because I wanted her to see. I didn't even want her to embrace that language. So I said it in that matter to try to make it so silly. Because I said, if you didn't care, why'd you call me? It's simple. You called me because you have a heart cry. You didn't call me because you don't care. You called me because you're in despair. You called me because you knew what I would say. Because down inside, you're desperately needing help. Don't tell me. Don't even sit there and dare even believe you don't care anymore. You called my phone. I got real loud with her. My wife's looking. You called my phone. Don't tell me you don't care. That's a lie. You better believe you care. And I went after her. I did, man. I just you don't some of that stuff you got to go after. You can't peddle around some of these deceptions because they're designed to kill. Steal, kill, destroy. Well, honey, I mean, you just need to be encouraged. No, God, Jesus loves you. That doesn't work in some of those situations that way. You need discernment. It's almost like a, hey, what are you thinking? Know who you are, right? Oh, I preached the gospel to her. So you're telling me, I turned to, so you're telling me that Jesus, boom, bam, pop, boom, boom, because your life's not worth living? Hello? That's how I talk to her. You think of demeaning her? Absolutely not. Accosting the lies that are ravaging her mind to just humiliate them and expose them so she can go, and it really works out good when you get it. I don't do that too often. I don't get in that tone too often with people personally, but I actually have fun with it. I like it because I understand it. It saves them. It's called snatching out of the fire. And all of a sudden it's like, woo, woo. Because they was burning up, baby. Yeah. So, amen. You had a hand up.
What came to mind in heart is that in Philippians 2, I had to look it up to see for myself, because he said to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Paul did. And so I guess,
oh, that's good.
Sometimes it's easy for me to slip back into that mentality, man, I've got to get this. You know, because Dick asked me how long I've been saved every day. I got to get saved every day. I've got to work this thing out. You're all people.
That scripture, it's a real good scripture. If you have to make sure you read scripture in grace and understand you're always reading in grace. You're always interpreting in grace. Even when you look at your own life, make sure you look at your life in grace. Not works and legalism. One of the big shifts is people get trapped into works. Like, I got to get this, could lead you right into what more you need to do to be all right. Here's the deal. You're already right. There's not one thing wrong about you through the cross. You start there. Oh, no, no. Oh, hey, oh, whoa, whoa, hey. There's not one thing wrong about you. Not one thing. Look at me, Donna. You're not lacking any good thing. It's all there in Him. It's His view of you. You're my prize. You're my treasure. You're my love. It's like, that's all He's saying through the cross. The stone's rolled away. So rise with me. Let's run off together forever. See, come on. It's all there. So when you read a scripture, work out your salvation. Here's what it means. Stay hooked up to that truth so you're not deceived and you run well. Stay in a reverence for God and just reverence who He is and keep sight of who you are in His sight and run well. That's what working out your salvation means. It means staying in touch with the truth that made you free. Not making you free. The truth that made you free. You have been delivered from the power of darkness. You're translated into the kingdom of the Son of His love. You get it? There was a young man this weekend we were praying. He spent 3 months with Heidi Baker in Mozambique this summer. Him and two friends, young man. You know, you envy that. You think, wow, right? Because you do. Seriously, I'm not making light of that. They prayed for a leper, several lepers, and watched their skin recreate while they were praying with their eyes. They watched things regrow and reform. Watch. So that's awesome. We want that, right? Coming down the line, he was telling me he was excited. Here he is standing in the redemption altar call because there was still something tracking his life from his former days. And I had an idea in my heart what it was. I told nobody to tell me. I didn't know, but I felt the Lord showed me not so that I would know, so that I would pray a certain way. Because I don't need to know. I don't need to know. I got to him. Now watch this. I got right to him. This is a boy, young man, that watched skin grow on people. It's a big deal. Watch leprosy get reversed by the power of the name of Jesus. Spent 3 months in an anointed, kingdom, active ministry. What a joy time. Now watch. Got right in front of him. And I went, whoa. I said, son, this has nothing to do with the redemption of your body. God's doing that now. This has to do with the redemption of your soul. There's nothing wrong with you. You've known talk about this. There's a lie been working in you for years, telling you that you're bound in some way, that you're in prison in some way, that you're not all the way free. You have been delivered. And when I said that, he literally went into convulsions and hit the floor and was doing things that looked like it would hurt. And he had no consciousness of it. This thing was a lifelong stronghold that was a secret voice down inside that he didn't share with anybody that was telling him, you're bound, there's something wrong, you need deliverance. One day you might get free, I doubt it, that kind of stuff. You know, that he always was a step behind, that he's lacking something, that he still needs something, that he's not all the way there. And he's watching all this and spending, and yet inside, tormented with the belief that he's not all the way free. Thinking he needs something more. And God was crying out of the Spirit, you're already there. I've given you all things. You need nothing. And he hits the deck. It looked like it hurt. I didn't like it because I felt like it was demonic. I felt like the demonic spirit was thrashing him. And I got down and I hit his chest pretty hard with my hand and just rebuked and prayed. And he went limp. And I started speaking life over him. And I said, I need you to stand up. I said, you'll be able to. I know you hear me. Stand up. He got up. And I had him lift his hands real high. I have been delivered from the power of darkness. Darkness cannot own me. I'm in the kingdom of the Son of your love. He starts bawling, grabs me, won't even let me go. At the end of the service, he comes running over to me and just holds me. He's almost squeezing the insides out of me. I'm like, could you pray for me now? Since you saw leprosy, could you pray for everything to go back? He's like... Because he was sincerely thankful because he had clarity in his mind in that torment. So here he was. Watch this. Was he free in Christ the whole time?
Absolutely.
Absolutely, Mary. Good girl. Did he believe it? So that thing just kept him in torment, kept him hindered, kept him from secret intimacy but his heart is hungry and pure, and actually released him into places where he saw recreative stuff that some of us haven't had the privilege of seeing. And yet he wasn't okay in an everyday way, just walking in the Father's love. Why? Because of one lie, he embraced his truth. And yet the reality was he was already free. That one little suggestion wrapped a chain around his soul. Sometimes we think he needs prayer and ministry. All that stuff. He needs truth. He needs to see who he is and face it. And say every other voice is a lie and a stranger. Can I get real raw with this with you? How can't you be free? Now that the Son of God shed his blood and gave his life and filled us with his Spirit. How can you be bound? It's just what we fail to see. Don't you tell me. You need delivered like we're all talking. We just need to say yay. I'm serious. It's that simple. People get so frustrated. It's not that simple. It is that simple. You can't tell me that God's plan A, redemption through Christ, isn't enough. Nobody can convince me of it. It's for every Christian to embrace. Is there things that God does sometimes and people need? Is there words of knowledge that help people to get past hurdles and stuff? Sure. But I would sure like to see us all embrace redemption through Christ as a plan A. And in your personal life, embrace that privilege and close the door when nobody's looking and say, thanks for making me so special. And thanks for making everything right. Thanks that you took the struggle off of my life. Because I proved a long time ago, I can't measure up. But you measured me up. Because you've always seen the truth about me. Thanks for being my king. Start there and stay there. Is that sweet or what? Ooh. I feel that. That's good. That's for you too. Yeah. I am so wishy-gushy. Mark 3. Then we're going to take a break. Yep. And then we'll ask some questions. Are you ready? He went up on the mountain, verse 13. Mark 3. He went up on the mountain and called to him those who he himself wanted. Whom he predestined, he what? Called. Do you know why you're here and even care about the kingdom in your heart? Because he called you. Is that true? Come on. Or are you caring in and of yourself? Or do you think grace is drawing you? Do you think grace came in the midst of deep darkness and God called light to shine out of darkness and say, psst, and make you begin to even consider him and care and want? Who opened the door of that option in your life? Spirit of God. He predestined you and he called you. So he called to who? He called those that he... Look at how intimate this is. Oh, you'll love this, Donna. Look. Look. He called to him those who he himself wanted. Oh, he wanted us. Do you get it? Oh, see, you girls get this and feast on this a lot better sometimes than us guys. But us guys are coming along, baby. And I'm getting enough for about four of us anyway. So I'll just account for about four of us. Because he himself wanted me. Come on! It's not default. It's not happenstance. It's not like, well, I just got caught up in the crowd and ended up here. Come on. You need to get loose and free with this, guys. I would say, you know what? He himself wanted me. I am so on purpose. Come on. I am so calculated by God. I was there with him from the beginning. And so were you. If you're not careful, you'll let something else determine who you are. Some petty, temporal thing of life that's subject to change and will be revealed as a lie anyway. Yeah.
what? Those he himself wanted. And guess what they did? They came to him. Ooh, that's what we're doing, right? Or to have done. Then he appointed 12 that they, look what he appointed them to do. He appointed 12 that they might be with him. Do you see what's first? Guess what he appointed you to?
To be with him.
Yeah. Guess what you're appointed to?
To be with him.
Wait, I thought it was to do miracles, signs, and wonders. To manifest the kingdom in the fire that's in his eyes. All those things work. But guess what's first? Guess what you're appointed to? Appointed to? To be with him. Watch this. Watch. So be with him. Oh my goodness, come on. This is so simple. So be with him. Watch. You called me. You wanted me yourself. You created me with a perfect design and plan. I am so on purpose. And the whole reason is that I might be with you, that two would be one, that your image would be revealed in me and flow through me. It's the reason that I live. So why live for anything else when I'm created in you? Come on, guys. That is so powerful. Your Bible teaches you this. It's not my sermon. That they might be with him. He appointed them that they might be with him. And from that place of being with him, what? He might send them out to preach. How can they hear if they, how can they believe if they haven't heard? How can they hear if there's no preacher? How can they preach if they haven't been sent? The reality of God, your communion and relationship with God, the revelation of who He is in your life, gets to a point where it begins to overflow out of your cup because your head's been anointed and your cup overfloweth, and all of a sudden they're spilling out on the dry ground. You can do that just through your relationship and not even intentionally do it. Your life preaches. Your words speak prophetically. What you have in Him is the expression of your life. That's how I moved in all those gifts in the first 6 months of my life.
Do you get it?
Oh, we think it's ordination, bless you, went through sky, and license now. You get the point, don't you? Yeah. What ordains me? I'm with him.
From that place, I'm going to preach. And from that place, somebody's getting healed. From that place, somebody's getting loved. Ah! Why? Because he appointed me what? To preach? To be with him. Ah!
And from that place, he's revealed. And we're trying to preach to feel spiritual. And we're wishing God would give us a word of knowledge so we fit in. And we're hoping somebody gets healed so we feel affirmed. Ah! He called to himself those whom he himself wanted. If you even care to be with him, it's because he called you. And it's because he himself wants you. What are you raising your hand for?
Well, in that paragraph, if you read that word for word, he said he himself wanted only the 12, is what the church has taught.
Yeah, but he tells the 12 to go make disciples of all nations and teach them all that he taught them. It says that in Romans 8, he predestined. Who he predestined, he called. What'd he call? He called us to who he himself wanted.
So it totally means you. You're called with a holy calling. Here's the deception. We think our calling is missions. We think our calling is children's church. We think our calling is the streets. And we limit our life to a function instead of an identity of being with Him. Our calling is that we might be with Him. That's first. David Hogan says, he says, don't even go if you haven't been with Him. He said, don't even go. Don't even open your mouth. He said, don't make a fool of yourself, a fool of the gospel. Don't even go if you haven't been with Him, or you're just trying to be somebody through your actions instead of your intimacy. That's pretty intense. He says, don't even go. Because in this place, who He is becomes yours. It's the only way you'll get over the bumps in the road. It's the only way you'll go through with clear perspective. It's the only way. Why is there so many ministers hurt and drained and dry and broken up by ministry in the church? Come on. We almost think that it's a hazardous work zone or something. What you're kidding me. What's going on? Why is there so many rehab centers for pastors to come and refresh and refurbish because the call is so tough? And I that shouldn't be so normal and common and expected and accepted. That should be so challenged. Should be. No one should drink from your cup. They should drink from the saucer of your cup. Because your cup's running over. So they can never get into the cup. If they're drinking out of your cup, you'll go dry. And no wonder, we're just doing service. We're just fulfilling the call. We're doing ministry. It's all for the Lord, brother. And then the whole time our tank is running out. He's anointed your head, your cup runneth over. He'll fill the thirsty with water. Isaiah what? 40... What is it? It's 40, it's early 40s, 44, 40, 40 something. He'll fill the thirsty with water and flood the dry ground. Why? Because you're filled and flowing over. And all of a sudden people are getting spilled on by the overflow of your fullness. Nobody drinks from your cup. I don't minister out of my cup. I minister because my cup is overflowing. If I ministered out of my cup, then I'm half empty. And you say, well, yeah, but spiritual is half full. That's the best way to look at it. It should never be not overflowing. He's anointed my head, my cup runneth. Come on. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not. To know the love of Christ is filled with all the fullness. And I need refreshed. I'm in green pastures and still waters. I'm in the world, not of the world. I'm with Him, and I'm a mess. Do you get it? It defies natural wisdom. Human intellects gets crushed by the gospel. Human reasoning. Well, yeah, brother, but the ministry is tough. Don't you dare receive that stuff into your belief system when you talk to people that have ministered. You follow Jesus. You show me one look of Jesus that needed rehab. He did more things in a day than many of us have experienced in a whole Christian life. That's not condemnation. That's just sober. If the things He did were written one by one, it says the world wouldn't contain the books. And what I believe that means, because I never understood that, what I believe, I'm not saying this is what it means. What I believe it means is that all the books of the world that were written of that at that time wouldn't have been able to hold and contain what Jesus did. Because the world containing the books, I mean, if you think of that in a literal sense. Yeah. The world could hold a few books. I don't think that's what he meant. It was a phrase in their day that the books of the world, the books that were in the world, the current books that were written, would have never been able to hold the things he did if they were written one by one. That was in a 3-year life of the Spirit. That was pouring himself out like a drink offering, because his spirit man was like an artesian well that couldn't be capped. If you'd have tried to cap it, it would have bubbled out anyway. Why? Because he was with him. And somebody's getting wet. And people thronging him by the crowds and thousands. Sometimes I think my life is over pursued in my mind. I think, man, I mean, I come home from a trip and I've got these calls and people just call me just to ask me questions. I have questions. I've been listening to a tape and I have questions. And I'm thinking, I just can't call everybody to answer their questions in my life. I got a lady from Colorado on my machine right now listening to a tape and I just have some questions. Please call. The only way she has my number is because she's pulling up on the internet and my number's not unlisted. It makes you think sometimes, maybe I ought to unlist my number. But I start thinking of Jesus and I think, thronging, staying up all night in his presence praying. Sun rising and they pursuing and finding him breaking away, crossing a lake. And all of a sudden, the sun, and here they all come, they find him. And it was never ending. And it was so profuse that the world couldn't contain the effects of his life because of the Father. And I don't see one place where he was like, whew. He said, well, he went off and prayed. I don't think, can you picture this? Going up the mountain? God, I'd love to sleep and be in the flesh, but I can't, because if I don't pray, I'll never make tomorrow. God, these people are sucking the life out of me. You've got to fill me now. I like to make it sound ridiculous so we never think it again. Well, Jesus needed refueled. He had to pray often. He broke away often. And he was in intimacy community. It's not because... it's because I'm with him. I always do what the Father... I'm with him. Somehow we make that, because we've been tired, we make that why Jesus broke away, because he was drained. There's sermons that are mountain valley sermons. You go to the mountain and get filled up, go back down to the valley and pour out till you're drained, and then crawl back up the mountain to get filled up. Throw that out of your theology, please. Or I'll repent, because then I've never truly been in the valley. I just probably need to get off the mountain and get my head out of the clouds. Get out into the real world where God is needed. Come on. If you embrace some of these theologies, you're accepting just weakness and weariness and tiredness, and you're just letting the flesh have a voice. You're letting the human reasoning stay alive. We all want the supernatural, and then we think in ways that stops his power. Come on. Man, if you think you have to wear out, you're just a moment away. People say, well, everybody has their day, brother. Well, your day's coming. Serious. You have what you believe in life. Amen? Yeah. I said we were going to take a break. I'm a man of my word. I'm just not ever on time. But look at this. Look at this, and we'll take a break. Yeah, boy, serious. We're done with this then, see? That they might be with him. That they might be with him. And that he might send them out to preach and to have power. Where's the power? Where's the power coming from? Well, we know it's the Spirit of God, born again, spirit of Sarah. But don't forget that they were appointed that they might be with him, and from that place they were sent with power. Be with him, folks. Be with him. Have no need to minister. Have a need to be with him. And from being with him, you can't help but to minister. Amen?
Take a break.
Come back born again, spirit filled.